Hey, greetings and welcome, everybody. It's Bill Hyde here, the executive producer of the G.A. Henty Audio Adventures, Under Drake's Flag, and In Freedom's Cause. Recently, I caught up with Kirk Cameron and Marshall Foster in Kirk's CanFam office in beautiful Westlake, California. Now, many of you know Kirk and Marshall from the immensely popular documentary, Monumental. The subject of this conversation? A continuation of the Monumental theme, the amazing power of revisiting our Christian past. Guys, let's talk a little bit about the storyline and just what's going on with Lee and Virginia. And Kirk, obviously for you, that's a pretty easy one, right? You were in it. You played a little bit of a role in this thing.
I did. And I played the role of this amazing soldier, Stonewall Jackson. And I got to play it while my head was shaved and I had a big full beard. Do you remember that?
Which you can see on the website. Yeah,
you can see that on the website.
forever immortalized in that image of you with the beard. That's
right. I just finished filming a movie in Idaho, which is not set to come out till next year. So no one's even seen any of these images except on with Lee and Virginia's website. So I had lots of fun playing Stonewall Jackson in with Lee and Virginia. And one of the things I love so much about it, Bill, is when you invited me and my son to be able to do this together. And so he plays Will Upton, a young boy who joins the Confederate Army along with some of his friends and learns what it means to go to battle for a righteous cause. Yeah. So it was great.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And it was fun to watch your son work on this with you as well. We have little pieces of that in the trailer that are kind of fun. That was his first time
that
he'd ever
been
in anything.
First time we'd ever worked on anything together. And it was really fun for me to watch him because he just has this fun, effervescent personality. You know, he's always, I see it at home, but to see him, you know, be kind of channeled through this character was really exciting. It kind of reminded me of when I was little, like him, working on Growing Pains. And here I've got my own little Mike Seaver, who's playing a role here, and I'm coaching him, directing him. It was really fun.
And how about as a dad, too? I think you fit into kind of the mold, if you will, of a lot of people that like these audio adventures, audio dramas. And as a dad, what do you like about it in terms of everything that's going on today in the world? It's a crazier place every day. What do you like about audio adventures like with Lee and Virginia?
I absolutely love the audio adventures that we're talking about, because when I first got a copy of Under Drake's Flag, and I can't remember who gave it to me, but the cover looked great, and I popped it into my car CD player, and my son James was there with me, and we started listening to this, and wow, this was not just Adventures in Odyssey. I'll be honest. This was taken to the next level. This was a really exciting cast of voices, and the sound effects, the Foley effects were so great, and it was battles in the ocean on a pirate ship fighting sharks and saving a damsel in distress. And 15-year-old boys were the heroes. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is great. And James loved it. And we got to the where we were going to go. And then we drove all the way back home, parked in the driveway. And we had only been through about an hour of the story. And I got out of the car. And he said, Dad, could you please leave the car going? I'm like, why? He said, because I want to finish the rest of this. I'm like, sure. So I went in the house.
He wouldn't get out of the car.
He wouldn't get out of the car. He stayed in there with the car running and just stayed there for another hour, finishing up the story. And he came in and he goes, hey, Dad, I'm ready for the next one. And I was like, oh, buddy, there's no next one yet. We got to wait. There's not another one. And then the next one came out in Freedom's Cause. And we listened to that one. And it was great. And I even was able to take the little sheet out of the package where the CDs were about Sir Francis Drake's prayer, you know, and to use some of those discussion questions that were in the little study guide as a dad to talk to my kids at dinner time. You know, kids, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? You know, well, what happened here? Why did this happen? Why did he make that decision? So as a dad, it helped me, as I'm always looking for things to impart wisdom and virtue and character to my kids. And tools like this are really helpful.
Marshall, here we are in a crazy, crazy world, and it seems to be getting further and further away from biblical truth all the time. Why do you think we need stories like this now? I mean, we got to kind of figure out how to go back to the beginning and center ourselves a little bit. Where do you see us historically as a nation? And then how does materials like this with Lee and Virginia and the other ones that Kirk's talking about, How do they kind of fit in with rethinking?
And giving us hope, I think. Everyone I talk to as I travel and speak across the country is very discouraged, the vast majority. They don't know what to do or where we're going. They know we're going down fast, much faster than we have in past generations. And so how do you change that? And I think this is why I love Lee and Virginia, the idea that you could show both sides, you could show inside out what's going on in the hearts of men as they're fighting this struggle, thinking they're right on both sides. But to see Lee get to the end, and I know just from studying a little bit about Robert E. Lee, he was able to keep a calm head. Without his calm head, there would have been, riots in the streets, and America would have split up again and again and again. But he was just calm. He accepted what God had ordained, and he moved on, and he said, history teaches me to hope. And those words always ring with me, because what he's saying is, I'm going to spend the rest of my life teaching in a college. I'm going to keep doing the right thing. I did what I thought was right during the war, and I'm going to keep doing the right thing. But history teaches me to hope that in the long run, righteousness will prevail. And I've been teaching history for 45 years. That's what I know to be the truth. But there's nothing like taking a story, a personal story, and making it come alive like this on audio to allow a young person to capture, because I'll get caught up in all the details of this and that and want to give you the whole story of biblical documents and historical documents. And the average young person coming up who's 8, 9, 10, 15 years old, he wants to get caught up in the stories of men and women who are actually making a difference, who really did make a difference, so they can gain hope. And I've got a grandson, I've got a son who drives an hour and a half to Disney every day to go to work. He listens to this stuff. I've got a grandson who's 12 years old who wants to follow in my footsteps and wants to take over my ministry. Well, what am I doing with him? I'm sending him this stuff because it's at that age that they catch it. And then that'll drive them deeper into the historical material they need to...
The love of the story. Yeah,
correct. And one of the things that James loved about it, and I, if I were 12 years old, I would love this too, is that with these stories, you're not just telling the story of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. You're taking 13 and 14-year-old boys and you're putting them in his army and seeing the story through their eyes. So hey, Billy, here he comes. He's riding up on a horse. Listen to him. He sings to his troops as he's leading them into battle. Can you believe it? And then you hear him singing his songs. And then, so the whole thing is told from their perspective. And, or a pirate ship. Oh, Drake is coming. Oh, if I could ever, be hired by him to be one of his hands on his ship. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Yeah, but you have no chance. And then Drake shows up and he hires him and he gets on the ship. And it's every little boy's dream to have those kinds of adventures. And that's what I think makes these unique.
And mentors. What do you think about the idea of having Robert E. Lee as your personal mentor in some sense?
That's right.
I mean, or Wallace or Drake as you're living the adventure, as Kirk was saying, you're learning from them all the time.
Most of us have not had those kinds of heroes in our lives. Most of us have never been to war, for example. Most of us have never really been out in the middle of some of these traumatic events. But to be able to see it happen, and someone gives you the inspiration that, yeah, if I ever get in that situation, I could stand too.
And how about just the story of in our own country, just what the textbooks don't have? So you've got a fast-paced, moving story. You've got music. You've got all the things that we've been discussing. But from the perspective of historical content, if you look at a middle school or high school history textbook, you're going to find more about Marilyn Monroe than you are Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson. So our country's come a long ways, and we lack right now these people to look up to, people that have held the line and have sacrificed, as you're saying, Marshall.
One of the things that jumped out to me about with Lee and Virginia in particular was when I would ask people, what do you know about the Civil War? Well, it was between the North and the South, and I would say, who were the good guys? Well, the North, of course, because the Southerners were the bad guys who wanted all the slaves, and they didn't want to give them up. And so you had white against black, North against South. And this gives you a perspective of the Civil War that teaches you that there were good and godly men on both sides of this war who did what they believed was the right thing to do. And there were heroes in the North and heroes in the South. And I learned things about Abraham Lincoln that I never knew. There were great things about Abraham Lincoln that I admire. And then there were other things that Abraham Lincoln did that I think were, wow, I didn't realize that that was really the issue at stake here. And I wonder if he really even understood what he was doing. It really got me thinking about the Civil War in a whole new light. And to me, felt like it was much better than the education that I got in eighth grade when I went to Gettysburg and visited the Lincoln Monument and they told me what the Civil War was all about. That's not what it was all about. There was so much more to it.
Right, exactly. And how faith, how biblical principles, and even how constitutional principles fit into this. Because you really have the question of jurisdiction. What right does the North have to come down and steal the land of individual owners of land and rape and pillage down in the South? What right did they have to do that? And to break all the state's rights that were guaranteed to them in the Constitution. So I can see, you see the other side when you watch this, that, wait a minute, this is what's happening to these people. It's not just the politically correct view that they were all people who, you know, hated liberty and loved slavery, and then the great liberty lovers were in the North and they were coming down to liberate the blacks. And that's just not the true story of what happened. So I think it's great. It just gives that balance, and it gives an understanding of the deeper principles. And I think it helps drive us back, too, to the constitutional principles of the separation of powers and limited powers of the government that we're facing right today.
That's right.
Same issues.
Coming
same
down
issues.
On us today, where the federal government wants to take over everything.
Yeah, so there's a lot of lessons to be learned. Lee, for example, you know, was picked by Lincoln to head up the Northern troops. He was Lincoln's go-to guy. Of course, he said something to the effect of, I could never invade my own land.
I can't fight my own Virginia.
Own people. I think his view at the time where, because you didn't have this, it wasn't federalized like it is today, guys. So you had this idea that your state was almost like your country.
Yeah.
And your
sure.
land,
yeah.
you know, and
all
that's missing.
At the state level.
All
which
government
is in
was
our
there.
Constitution.
Because the Constitution was supposed to strictly bind this federal thing, but the states' rights were supposed to continue. And Lee didn't even own, I think at 1862, he had released his slaves, and he never bought a slave in his life. So the issue as far as where the slavery side is, what do you do if there's people you never bought a slave in your life? We know what the Bible says about kidnapping. It's a capital crime. Kidnapping and slaving, capital crime. But what about a culture where a guy never bought a slave? He just had inherited slaves. So you got to figure out how to disengage from this, but the existentialists want everything done in a second.
And they want to go back and relive history and pour everything that we've learned in 200 years back upon people that lived 150, 200 years ago. It's impossible to do. Slavery has been a part of the world since the beginning of time. And it still is in more than half the world's population.
You might make the case that what we're living in today, I know this is, I'm pushing the envelope a little bit, that we're living in state-sponsored slavery today. Like America is a type of state-sponsored slavery. So that's another type of slavery that you can be under. You can have private ownership of other individuals. And you know, we talk about that in the story. But the state really can own the labor that we produce.
And you know, To that point, they want the minds of our children, too, through public schools. They want to educate them with the kind of information that benefits the state rather than benefiting the principles of freedom, the principles of Christianity that we want to teach our kids. And that's one of the things I love about these two, is that it's giving us the ability to feed our children with timeless truths that bring gospel transformation to their thinking. By seeing those thoughts lived out in previous generations by godly people.
Yeah, you can kind of go at it, and maybe Marshall will talk about this a little bit too. It's like a fish in an aquarium. We're so immersed in statism, it's almost impossible without history. I think it was Chesterton that said something to the effect of, you know, we're kind of prisoners to the here and now, and with history we can kind of find freedom by finding answers that exist beyond the pressures of everyday life. So here's history, but we're such statists. This is a kind of a breath of fresh air with respect to how an individual sees his family,
his himself governing himself. That's what that Robert E. Lee and Stonewall both had in common. Self-government first
these kinds of things, Bill, helped me to say things to my kids. I remember saying this after listening to some of these things, this idea of self-government. And then that's in all three of your projects, this idea of if I will govern myself under God, then I can be free to bring blessing to the world. And I said to my kids, hey, kids, how many of you guys like all of Daddy's rules here at the house? We don't like those rules. Like, how would you like to get rid of every rule and to where I don't make one rule in this whole place? They're like, great. I'm like, okay. Then you only have to do one thing. Govern yourself under God and his laws. You govern yourself under God and his laws, and I'll throw every other rule I have in this house right out the window. And they think, oh, wow, really? That's great. That's great. Now, of course, they can't do it. So they bring in the 10,000 laws from Dad. But that principle, I think, is worth gold. If kids could understand what these heroes understood, if I will govern myself voluntarily, freely, wholeheartedly, and love God with all my heart, if I won't steal, if I'm not going to, take advantage of my neighbor, and if I'll love God and follow the Ten Commandments by faith, knowing that my hope, my forgiveness, my opportunity to change is all found in Christ, that I don't have to be governed by 1,000 curfews and 1,000 groundings and rules and all these kinds of things by my parents and by the police and all these other things, because, God's ways are good ways.
They are, and that's the way we used to live. I'm kind of thinking about de Tocqueville saying,
You could go everywhere in America.
Yes.
And there was no army. No police. For the greatness of America, I couldn't find
someone. Where's all the cops, he's saying?
Yeah. I found it in the pulpits of America that were aflame with Russians. Yeah, that was early America. And that gets back to the theme of history that you so beautifully portray in these audios, because it makes it all come alive in the mind, but it's based upon a biblical worldview. So people, when they live according to these character principles of Scripture, in the long run, they have victory. That's what history teaches. History teaches that covenant keepers win and covenant breakers lose. You just have to stay around long enough to see the end of the story. And that's what's being presented here, is the long-term victory of good over evil, which is not taught in our day. Exactly the opposite is really taught in most motion pictures and most things that are going on now. And if there is any good and evil at all, it's all kind of a fictional thing. But it really is a good and evil, and there really is the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do. And when you see great examples of people who live by faith, who trusted in the Scripture and walked in it, you really see that that's the way to go. I want to be like that. What is the alternative? To be a jerk and go to hell. I mean, that's the alternative. There's no middle ground here.
Yeah, and what's a win look like? I think you guys were talking earlier today about self-sacrifice. And sometimes, guys, we don't see the victory, and we're not even called to see the victory in our lifetime. All you got to do is go over to Europe and look at the cathedral thing, long some of these took. These guys that started these projects didn't live long enough to finish these projects. So we've become such existentialists that we always have to think that it has to happen instantly. So, for example, in this story with Lee in Virginia, written by a Brit who came, G.A. Henty, who came to this country, liked de Tocqueville because he wanted to know why, after he came after the war, he wanted to know why we couldn't figure this out without 600 plus thousand people having to die. Because Wilberforce and the others there, they figured out how to get rid of slavery through legislation, through changing hearts and minds, through the pulpit, as we said. But that self-sacrifice thing, it just doesn't seem like people today, if we can't see it now, it's actually preached from the pulpits in some sense, but if we can't see it now, we don't reach for it. Instead of just doing your duty, the story that's taught in here, the character trait that we kind of emphasize in this, it just seems to be gone.
But it's not gone. That's the beauty of it. You're bringing it back. And our mind, the minds of our youth must be filled with material of this quality. This is good enough that even adults will sit and listen to it. And families can listen to it. And kids can listen to it because of the quality. There is a quality gap, let's face it, in the Christian world, between a lot of what Christians produce and what the secular world produces, because they've got the money, the power, the influence. But you really narrowed that gap and brought it right to the average person. Wow, this is something that I can really get my mind and my imagination into that really builds character. So, you know, kudos. You did a great job. And carry on with this.
Kirk, you got any summary comments?
Well, what's the next one?
The next one is about Alfred. It's called The Dragon and the Raven. And it's a great story. It's the same principles. Here's a guy that refused to yield. Here's a guy that draws a line in the sand when everyone else ran away. Here's this little kingdom of Wessex. And this young man, Alfred, he lost his dad to the Vikings. He lost his brothers. And finally, it's down to him. He's the last one in line. And so he takes it on. And he's willing to engage an enemy and become fiercer than his enemy. And then when he wins, he's compassionate to his enemies when he's winning, and it's an amazing thing.
I can't wait to hear it.
That's all the time we have today. For more information and to watch the trailer of Kirk and his son James in the studio, go to www.withleeinvirginia.com. That's www.withleeinvirginia.com. Thanks again for listening.